Let's open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 again this morning. I'll tell you what, I can't imagine being Matt and being our worship leader. Can you imagine spending your week praying over which songs to choose from out of all of the hymns, all of the modern songs, all of the choruses, and to just get to pick five? Wow, did an awesome job this morning, amen. Glorious Day, I believe, is one of my favorite hymns that we sing today in the church. Last Sunday morning, we introduced you to the thought of growing down in Christ from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. We intended for this sermon to be a one-part sermon, but you listened so well last week that we got carried away and it got longer than we intended it for it to get. So this morning, we're going to bring the second part of that message. If you were here last week, you'll understand this introductory question or statement. Many of us have guest homes in our houses, guest rooms in our houses. Have you ever noticed that if you invite a family member or a friend over to your house and they're going to stay a little while, you can always kind of estimate how long they're going to stay by the size and the amount of the luggage they bring in the front door. Have you ever looked at the luggage and wondered this? Now, you know, we just invited you for a few days. It honestly looks like you're possibly moving in. Can you imagine if you invited someone to come and spend some time with you, and when the day arrived and you met them at the door, following their automobile was a moving van? And literally, they unloaded everything they owned and moved it into your house. And the guest room where you were going to try to contain them for a few days could not hold all of their stuff. Imagine if they took the liberty to begin to move your stuff out and move their stuff into every room you have. Now, I know what some of you are saying. It's like the kids when they come back home. Amen. Now, I know if you're like me, you would say something like, now, hold it. There has to be a misunderstanding. You didn't understand what I was saying when I asked you to come and spend some time with us. But imagine them saying, no, I didn't misunderstand. You misunderstood. I'm afraid that's what happened to some of us at Salvation. I think some of us really thought we could contain Christ in the guest room of our heart, because we really wanted him to move into our heart because we knew we needed a Savior. But some of us got far more than we bargained for. Because what we did not realize is Jesus is not only Savior, he is Lord. And he will never settle for living in the guest room of your heart. He wants to take control of your entire life. And that's what growing down in Christ is all about. Would you stand with me if you have your Bible, or if you don't have your Bible for that sakes? Let's open to Ephesians 3. Now, last Sunday, we read verses 14 through 21, and if my memory is correct, we got down to the middle part of verse 17 and then hurriedly went to verses 20 and 21. Well, we're going to go back and pick this up in the middle part of verse 17, but we're going to reread verse 14, 15, and 16 as well. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, here's where we didn't get to last week, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Paul prays for the Ephesian church to grow down in Christ. He understands that this is, first of all, a work of God's Holy Spirit. I want to make sure you're clear on this. Paul prays for the strengthening in the believer's inner man through the Holy Spirit, because Paul knows that your growth and my growth, first of all, depends on the moving of God's Holy Spirit in our life. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses back up to about 7 through 16, Paul understood that the natural man cannot understand the things of God because he doesn't have spiritual capacity. But the Holy Spirit of God who lives within us knows all of the things of God. And what the Holy Spirit of God does to you and I is he illuminates to us spiritual truth. Now, the way this works today in our life, I believe, is this. The Holy Spirit of God reveals to you and I the will of God through the Word of God. Now, as you and I get in the Word of God, Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us God's will. And as God's will is revealed to us, you and I have a choice to either respond to that positively or to respond to it negatively. And you remember last week, we understood that when the Holy Spirit of God begins to strengthen us as he brings God's revelation to us, Christ actually makes himself at home in our hearts through faith. So here's what happens. For Christ Jesus to truly control your life, influence you the way he wants to influence you, you must, when the Holy Spirit of God opens your eyes to the truth of God's word, you must respond by faith. And as you respond by faith, what's happening is Jesus begins to take up full residence in your heart. And he begins to take control of your life. He begins to influence you in a way that you can't even begin to imagine. Does that make sense? So Spirit of God reveals to me the will of God through the Word of God, and I must commit to that by faith. Now, let me show you what the Bible says is actually happening here. As a result of faith in God's illumination to you through the Spirit, you actually become rooted and grounded in love. And what Paul does is, and this bothers a lot of commentators, but we do this in West Kentucky all the time, we mix metaphors. Amen? You start out with a metaphor that's agriculture, and then he ends with a metaphor that's architectural. He says you're rooted and grounded in love. Now, if we only looked at this in our English Bible, we would think both of those are the same metaphor. But what Paul's doing is he's picturing a plant that puts roots down in the soil. And then his second statement is the picture of a building that has a strong foundation under it. And so whether you think about the Christian life as a building or if you think about the Christian life as a plant, here's what he's saying is the foundation of your life, your support structure, is love. Wow. Now, it's the picture of a plant putting down roots in soil. Now, we know that roots go down into the soil so that the roots can take nutrients and moisture from the soil up into the plant so the plant can produce fruit. Every gardener, every farmer here understands that you are limited by the harvest you're going to have in the capacity of your soil. Agreed? We classify soils two ways in this county. Primarily, we talk about the ridges and we talk about the bottoms. And most farmers had rather have bottom soil than ridge soil. Now, there's some characteristic that soil has that will determine the capacity of the harvest. We want a soil that's loose, not hard. We want a soil that's fine, not cloddy. We want a soil that's well-drained, yet will warm up quickly. We want a soil that's resistant to erosion. We want a soil that stays fertile and doesn't have to be fertilized at a high rate. These are qualities we look for in a soil, and if we have a soil that's high in organic matter, then we expect big, big results. Now, what's the soil of your life? As you grow down in Christ, it's love. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. It's not Bible study. It's not prayer. It's not tithing. It's not serving. It's love. One of the things Jesus told his disciples in John's gospel was this: by this, the world will know you are my disciples. By the way you what? Study your Bible? No. By the way you witness? No. By the way you pray? No. By the way you what? Love one another. This word love is the Greek word agapao or agape, depending on if it's the verb or noun form. Surely you know this now if you've been with me very long at all. Four characteristics of this love. It's selective. Once it's made a selection, it then evaluates the need in the one being loved. It then elevates that need to a place of priority in its own life. And then it doesn't look around, but it looks within and imparts of its own resources to meet the need in the one that was selected to be loved. Paul's already told us in Ephesians 1:5. It was in love that God, what? Predestined us to be adopted into His family. Wow. When God blueprinted you to be a member of the family, it was an act of His sovereign love. Well, by the time we get to Ephesians chapter 2, we begin to understand real clear where we stood before God loved us. We were what? Sinners. Dead in trespasses and sins. But Ephesians 2:4 says what? But God, who is rich in mercy. Now, why is God rich in mercy? Because Paul says, because of the great love with which He loved us. Please get this. John 4:8 says, God is love. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6 and in Revelation chapter 3, we understand that God is what? Holy, holy, holy. Did you catch that? The reason God could be merciful to you and I and withhold from us eternal judgment when we were dead in trespasses and sin and followed the course of this world, walked the way we wanted to walk, not the way He wanted us to walk. The reason He could be merciful to us is because of His great love with which He loved you and which He loved me. And then Paul comes back and says, by grace you have been saved. The love of God is the soil you and I put our roots down into as we grow down in Christ. Wow. The foundation of your life is the love of God. And the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You will never be plucked out of God's love. You are rooted in His love. You're founded in His love. Now, why would he root us in his love? So that we, one, can have the spiritual capacity to grasp, comprehend the dimensions of his love. And secondly, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. This word comprehend, it literally means to seize control of. It means to grasp. It means to get a grip on. In our day and age, in Dexter, it means this, to get it. I've known a lot of people who just can't fathom certain things. Amen. You ever been in that situation where you just couldn't wrap your brain around what was happening? Without the enabling of God's Holy Spirit, without you and I responding to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life by faith, we'll never have the spiritual capacity, we'll never have the strength to get a grip on, wrap our brain around, truly fathom the dimensions of the love of Christ. Wow. Now, this is one of Paul's incomplete phrases. He just says the width, the length, the height, and the breadth. And he doesn't go on and say the love of God or the love of Christ. But when you examine the context here, he just tells us we've been rooted in love. And then the next thing he says, he wants us to know the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. Here's what he's wanting you and I to do. And guys, this only comes to those who are growing in Christ. Only those believers who have Christ taken up full residency in their heart have the capacity to wrap their brain around the vastness of God's love. I've read a lot of my favorite writers and scholars and pastors, and we're all in agreement that Paul doesn't tell us what the width is or the length is or the height is or the depth. So we got to be careful. Because what he's basically trying to tell us is the vastness of God's love. But you know, when you begin to think about God's love and you begin to think about how wide it is, you understand it encompasses all of humanity. Amen. There is no group of people, there is no class of people that are beyond the width of God's ability to love them. Have you thought about the length of God's love? You know, if you try to get the length of something, you got to get its starting point and then you got to get its ending point to truly know the length. Well, when you start trying to measure the length of God's love, you don't start at Calvary at the cross. And you don't start when God created man in Eden and give him a second chance when he fell. When you're talking about a believer, you've got to go back before the foundation of the world. And then try to put your tape measure on the other end of this thing. It's forever. It's eternal because he is eternal. And when you try to measure the depth of it, it don't matter how low humanity has sunk, you can never be so low that the love of Christ cannot reach down and raise you up and out of whatever you've been in. And when you want to measure how high it can take you into the very throne room of God where you sit in Christ at the right hand throne of God. Guys, that's the soil by which we've been rooted. So our love is not based on what's happening to us. Our love is based on what's happened to us in Christ. Amen. You're drawing moisture. You're drawing nutrients. The fruit in your life is not limited because the soil you've been planted in is not limited. And then he says, I don't want you to wrap your brain around this. He said, I want you to know the love of Christ. And watch this, he says, which surpasses knowledge. Now, this almost sounds like a contradiction, right? How can you know what can't be known? Amen? But that's what Paul says is possible. Now, what you got to realize is this. This first word for know is the word that means to know by experience. It's a word that's translated in the Old Testament many times for a man knowing his wife. Now, when a man knew his wife, he didn't just know about her, he knew her. And something always miraculous happened. Something came out of that union, that intimacy, that knowledge. And this is what this is talking about. You knowing by experience the love of Christ. But here's what he's saying. You can know by experience what you'll never know by explanation. You ever tried to explain to your kids some things that you know, but you just couldn't explain it? And so finally you say, you just have to wait till you know it. Amen? I mean, there is some things you can't just sit down and comprehend and write totally about it because you can't exhaust it. And that's what this is saying. There will never be a time in our relationship with God when we'll fully be able to explain the love of Christ. But what cannot be explained fully can be experienced fully. And Paul wants us to begin to grasp this, get our brain wrapped around this. I had this thought last week. May not be a right thought, but it's just a thought. It's my thought, okay? But can I just ask you to entertain this thought? I think there comes a time in most of our lives, if you're really honest with yourself, where you get in a situation where you feel really, where you feel like you deserve better than what you're getting. Amen? I promise you there's not a wife in here, including my wife, who has not had a time in her life when she thought, he ought to love me more than he's loving me. I don't deserve this. And I bet there's not a husband in here either who has not been in that instant, in that moment, when he didn't feel like he's really getting what he deserved. There is not a relationship on this earth where you're in a love relationship with somebody to where at one point you didn't feel cheated. And the reason you felt cheated was because you felt like you deserved better. You made an evaluation of yourself, then you looked at the way you was being loved, and you agreed you deserve more. When you grow down in your relationship with Christ, I believe the day will come when if you had to pick out one word for that love towards you, it'd have to be this word, undeserved. Undeserved. I didn't deserve it. Amen? Amen? Now let me ask this question. How would that not change every relationship you had? If the nutrients from that love and the moisture from that love, it being undeserved, started penetrating your life. And it started being lifed out in you. You know why Paul's praying for the Spirit to strengthen you in your inner man so that Christ may take up residence in your heart so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to grasp and know the love of Christ? Here it is. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I can't tell you how many times I have refused to study that thought. I have no trouble studying the incarnation of Christ. I have no trouble believing Colossians 1:19, that in Him the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. I have no trouble believing Colossians 2:9, that in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. Amen? But I have trouble accepting that I, in the flesh, have the capacity to be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen? Now, here's one of them moments of truth. The Bible either is or it isn't true. Amen? And here's what this says. If you and I will grow down in Christ by responding by faith to the revelation of God to us through His Word, as the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, as Christ in that process begins to take up full residency, move our stuff out, more of His stuff in, we then have the capacity to put roots down in love and be strengthened and to be nourished from that love to one day we bear fruit. And when we bear fruit, what we will bear is all the fullness of God. Wow. This first word, fill, means to be filled to the brim. It literally is a metaphor for total dominance, to be dominated by something. Any of you ever use this phrase? We use it in Dexter a lot. Somebody will be telling us something and we'll say, you're full of it. Amen? Now, what we're referring to with that statement is it's a reference to their thinking. They're full of the wrong thinking. Agreed? Now, sometimes I've been in encounter with people, and in the moment, I've thought, whoa, you're full of hatred. You ever been around somebody that's full of hatred? You ever been around somebody that's full of envy? Jealousy? Now, what we're referring to then is their actions. But what we're talking about is someone being dominated to the point that whatever is in them now has full control of them. They are totally influenced at that moment by this certain attribute or characteristic or emotion. And here's what the Bible's teaching us. It is possible to so grow down in Christ that your life is dominated by all of who He is, so you can be at that moment just like Him in your thinking and in your behaving. Wow. Now, it doesn't make you God. It doesn't make you a Christ. But you know what it does make you? A Christian. A follower, a disciple. Most of us have been educated this way. We filter everything that we're taught through our lens. Amen? I mean, I've encouraged you sometimes to hang on to what you believe is true and let everything else go when I'm teaching. Christ never does that. You accept everything He says. And as you begin to accept everything He says and respond to it, there comes a time in your life when you have the wisdom of God. You have the patience of God. You have the mercy of God. You have the grace of God. You have the kindness of God. You have the gentleness of God. You have the righteousness of God. You have the justness of God. And you even have the wrath of God. That ability, wherever you're at, to truly act in a way that if Christ Jesus was in that same situation, you'd act just like he would act.
Wow.
Now, why are you bowing your head? Why are you looking sad? I know for just a moment we're all going, whoa, I'm not living up to this. That's exactly right. And you know what's a sign of? It's a sign of we've got a problem.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the soil. Amen? Problems with the plant. Where's the problem? Number one, we're not in the Word enough. Amen? Amen?
You don't just drive down the road and God pull things out of the air for you to respond to. We get in God's Word. As we get in God's Word, it reveals the promises and the truth and the will and the ways of God to us. And the Holy Spirit takes that, gives us the opportunity to respond to it. And as we commit to it, as we put a nail down and say, hey, I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to trust this. I'm going to believe this to be true. Every time we do that, another piece of our old furniture goes out, and another piece of his furniture comes in. And pretty soon you get to the place that you quit thinking like you would think. And somebody's going to look at you and go, whoa, you're full of it. That's right. I am full of God, totally dominated by Him, all of Him. He didn't give me part of Him. He gave me all of Him. And I can now see life from His perspective. And now you know what begins to happen? He begins to get the honor and glory. And you know what begins to reveal in your life? What begins to be revealed in your life is a God who can do far more above and beyond anything you ask or think. Wow. When I checked out this verse in the Greek New Testament, you got to understand our English translators had a hard time translating this now to Him who is able to do far above what we're able to ask or think. Let me tell you what Paul did. Paul just started taking participles and prepositions, and he just started heaping them on top of each other. And he takes four different words, and he combines them together. And it literally means he can do far beyond. He can do out of. He can do far more. And our English translators translate this word abundant. And here's what you got to get your mind around. And I ended with this last week, but let me say it again. As you begin to grow down in Christ, God is going to be glorified in a way in your life because He's able to do more. Not what you ask Him to do. Not just what you're thinking. He does more than that. And how does He do it? He does it through the power that's at work in you. I believe totally God is sovereign, but we cannot develop our own idea of God's sovereignty. Our idea of sovereignty must be biblical. And a sovereign God, when He decides to do what He does in the world today, does it through the church. This is why in Ephesians 4, Paul's going to want us to come to maturity in Christ so that we grow into the fullness of Christ. So that when God begins to do far more than people could ever ask Him to do or think about Him doing, how will He do it? He'll do it through His church, and you and I are a part of the church, and as a part of the Hardin Baptist Church, we must in 2013 grow down in Christ. Because we don't want to be a church
where our God is limited by our ability to think or ask. Amen? We want our God to get glory by doing far more than we could ask or think. Will you make a commitment to grow down in 2013? Let's pray. Father, we praise you, Father, for this prayer. We believe it was a prayer that Paul prayed confidently, that he prayed in faith. And Father, we want to pray it for us here at Hardin, that we can grow down in Christ in 2013. And as we grow down, we'll be growing up with the body, and we'll be growing out to the world. But Father, let us understand that the foundation of our relationship within the body and our relationship to the world is love. Not our love, but your love. And Father, remind us that your love is governed by your holiness. Sometimes we excuse behavior based on how we love someone, when in reality the love we have is not holy love, but it's unholy love. And it never accomplishes what we intended for it to accomplish. But as we put our roots down in your love, and you begin to fill us with the capacity of experiencing the love of Christ, boy, it just changes our relationships. We get out of that of what I'm getting out of it, and we get into it for what we can give. Father, let this church truly grasp your love. Thank you, Father. Right now, Father, I want to ask you to move on our hearts. If there's anyone here right now who knows they are not growing as they should, Father, please right now let them bow before you and truly ask you to give them the capacity to respond to what you're revealing to them. And Father, let us open our eyes to what's happening when we get into your word and you're revealing truth for us. We're not coming to your word to just know how to live, but we come to your word to know how to have a life. And as we have a life, then the living takes care of itself. Father, let us see that what you're interested in is molding us into the image of your Son. And then the behavior, it'll take care of itself. Father, thank you for teaching us the importance of growing down and letting us see the possibilities we have of producing fruit for you. In your Son's name, amen.